I'm John Perry, and this is Selected Prose. Hey everybody, thank you for tuning in to another episode of Selected Prose. This week we sat down with Timmy Sani. He's an award-winning writer, poet, and literary prodigy and biochemistry student from Lagos, Nigeria. 19 years old, and he is published all over the place, X-Ray, Palette, The FITRA Review, and many more. I highly recommend checking out his work. I have posted it in the bio. Enjoy the talk. Forgive me for our internet connection. And as always, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts if you enjoy the show. Timmy Sani, thank you so much for doing this interview with me.
My pleasure.
Where are you calling in from?
From Lagos, Nigeria.
Very nice. How's the weather there?
It's cool. It's sunny.
Nice. Perfect. It's rainy here in New York. So I met you on Twitter, like I have met many of my guests in the past, and I read your interview on the Daily Trust, and there you talked a bit about your life and your inspirations for writing, and you know some of the many awards that you've won. But I'd like specifically to hear about the beginning. It says that you started writing at 7 years old, and I'm very curious about why you started then and what inspired you to start writing.
All right, so I started writing at that young age because I guess I've always been an introvert, so I don't really go outside much to play with my fellows at that young age. You know, I'm more outwardly now. So then I always call up with books at home. We have quite a few of them, so even books that way. That were quite not my level. So I just kind of was fascinated with books. So I just began to read. So I guess there's a time when you read and then you're like, I love this so much. I want to do this kind of thing. So at that young age, I started to write my own cheesy stories, designing the covers, writing about the author at the back and all the kind of stuff. So yeah, so that's how I just began, and I knew I wanted to become an author. Even if I was at that age when you change your career, you like, I want to become a doctor, no, I want to become an engineer, I want to become this. So I always knew that even if I would become all of these or none of these or any of these, I would always become an author. I want to become an author too. So, and also I read quite a lot of books then. There's one particular book I read when I was about, say, 10, it was Adventures of Sherlock Holmes. So when I read about Arthur Conan Doyle, the author of the book, he was a doctor and he was also an author. There's one particular line in the book that struck me when he said he wrote the first chapter, A Study in Scarlet, of Sherlock Holmes when he was in his hospital waiting for the patient to come. So at that particular time, I had become a doctor. So I was like, so even if you become a doctor, it doesn't really mean you like made it. So you could still write and even be popular for your books, even if you are not popular for working as a doctor or anything. So
yeah,
it kind of inspired me. So I just began to write. Mostly then I wrote stories. I didn't like poetry.
So you started with stories instead of poetry?
Yes, okay. I wrote only stories then. So it was just recently 2018, that's when I really started writing poetry, because then I discovered the poetry was much more than I thought. So there were a lot of styles, and I like to explore, I like to experiment, I like to do different things. So I think it was not just because when I was younger, I was exposed to mostly rhymes and all this kind of rhyming poems, and it felt so forced to me. It didn't flow. So like, I'll write my stories that flow well. But then when I discovered the poetry was much more than writing rhyming words and all. So began to get more interesting. So I tried at my hands at writing poetry, and in 2018 I had my first publication. So I was like, yeah, I can do this thing.
And you had mentioned in previous interviews that it's really when you stumbled upon free verse that you started to become more interested in poetry. Is that correct?
Yeah.
What was it about it? Or was there a particular poet that kind of inspired you in the same way where you're like, okay, I can do this?
It wasn't a particular poet. It was social media, seeing some other people writing poems, and no, not all of them were really good. But then I'll see some that, wow, this is good. Someone else is doing kind of thing. But, and it's not rhyming. So then it's quite much more than I thought. Really, if someone could write something that's not rhyming and is as interesting as this, so it wasn't really a poet. But then after that, I began to get interested in poetry. So I read poetry books at the school library of some African contemporary, first generation, sort of we first generation of poetry writers, poets in Africa, them sort of people like Wole Soyinka, Neyo Sundari, David Diop, and all. So I think, so when I began to read, I was very much more interested in it, because it wasn't really just what I thought about poetry at all. When I was younger, I was only familiar with poetry books, poems by foreign authors, not my kind of local authors or authors from Africa or from Nigeria, which is where I'm from. So it's sort of got closer to home from reading works of people like me. Mm-hmm. And then so I began to get interested and tried my hands at writing. And I've quite grown to love poetry so much now. It's still a tough choice between choosing fiction and poetry, but I love both of them.
No, yeah, yeah. A lot, you know, I think William Faulkner said, you know, the natural progression is to become a poet and then a short story writer and then a novelist or something, but you've taken a different route, but you do both very well. And, you know, I've read your stories in X-Ray. You won a poetry contest in Nigeria. Several, yes. You've won several contests already in Nigeria, and you're still an undergraduate, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this has been a quick, you've had some success quite early.
I think so. I'm grateful for it.
Yeah. So how has social media helped you or made it easier or maybe even harder to, publish your work? I think you are the first guest I've had that's out of the country. So I've never discussed publishing. I guess outside of my small little world here, and I'm wondering how social media might help with that.
All right, social media really helps for me, because and for fellow Nigerian creatives too, because especially Twitter. I think Twitter is kind of a really big directory for literary magazines. So, and also the literary community on Twitter is quite strong and feels like one big family. So it's really help when you can share ideas and talk about rejections and acceptance and all of that with fellow people who really get what you mean. Kind of become, because writing is a solo experience, it's a solitary action. But then having this kind of community makes it more wholesome, and like it makes it communal. Everybody is writing and we're discussing about what we write, and we're reading each other's stories. And then we are all commenting on each other and congratulating each other for great achievements and all. So it's kind of very interesting.
Yeah, I think for somebody like you who's maybe more introverted, you can still be an introvert and share with people, and it's not too frightening, because you can still do it from a safe distance, you know?
Exactly. Social media doesn't really feel like going outside of you, because it most of the time, I'm very much outspoken on social media than I think I would be in real life. I don't know.
You're a prolific introvert.
Yeah. Same way I love writing fiction and kind of like scared of going into nonfiction yet, though I'm working on it. Fiction provides kind of a cover when you're writing. You can, most fiction is not 100% fiction. because it's always, I think it's a bad fiction. If fiction is 100% fiction, it should have some facts and some emotions and some, like, let's say stories or backstories from your life, which you put into writing to make it, profound or in that way. But then there's nothing like that in non-fiction too. So I think I'm just relating it to social media. So the same way, I think I like to have a kind of cover, a kind of safe distance to speak from.
You know, I was reading about your story, Seeking Salvation in a River, that won the Fitra Review Ramadan Writing Contest for 2020. And in an interview about it, you said, Seeking Salvation in a River, like most of my other stories, is an attempt to educate. To what extent are your stories educational, and how do you make them so? I mean, because a lot of these seem deeply personal and they're very beautiful and educational element of your story. What message are you trying to get across?
I think my idea of educate might have changed a bit. Mm-hmm. It's not really forcing some things down people's throat or that kind of thing. No. It's more of like opening up an insight about something. It's less, mostly my stories carry insights, or let's say so I think it's left to people to make their own decisions about what it means and understand it the way they feel. But then there's always those openings in my stories, and I think that's what I meant when I said it's not really like a thesis or something about history. No.
Yeah, you're not acting like a historian or a teacher or something. You're still telling fictional stories.
Yeah.
You know, in some of the stories where maybe you are focusing on, you know, sharing experience, you know, it seems like you write a lot about your mother and, you know, people that you've met, like people who you are close to. Something I'm thinking about is a term that I use for it, or people around here use for it, is auto-fiction.
What's that?
So it's still fiction, but, you know, most of it draws from personal experience. And I wonder, you know, because right now you've told me that your work in progress blends science fiction and a couple other genres. So I'm interested in, you know, your earlier stuff, the stories that you've won prizes for. What were the inspiration, you know, for the story that you just read, for example, that might be a good. What was the inspiration for that? Are you drawing on your real life, or do you?
It's not from my personal life.
Yeah.
I see. It's from what I've experienced. Mm-hmm. I think mostly at young age, we tend to take things that are not love for love when it's still young and naive and all. So I think what I'm trying to do in this story is not make judgment on anything, but just kind of open up a scenario for people to make their own, to take away different insights from it. That's just it. I think at this young age, when we are so naive and taking things that are not for love, there should be a kind of, we should understand that there should be a kind of set mark between what is love and what is not love. Most times when we are still naive, we tend to overlook things and say, okay, he did this because of this, or he did, or make judgments for someone who's abusive or anything. So I think I'm just trying to take away this scenario, because when you are in a situation, you don't have a full view of that situation. You can only see so far as you can see. So but then I think when you bring out the situation and put it to a story, it kind of gives a kind of third person view on the situation. So to make the person be able to decide what is or what's not.
Yeah, I really like that idea. When you're in a situation, you can only see as far as you can see. You know, you are limited in your experience, and you need. It's hard to get to like the level where you understand things objectively instead of subjectively.
Yeah.
So, what do you think the hardest part of writing is? This is something I want to start asking my guests, but. What do you think the hardest part of writing a story is? Is it the idea behind it? Is it editing? What's always been the biggest challenge for you?
I think this changes quite a bit. I think there's some stories that that forms up very much quickly in your head, and you're like, no, I have to write this down. And then you write your story down in in an hour, you're done with it. And there's some other stories that take long, you write it for weeks, even months, just one short story. So I think it's kind of different. For example, those stories you just write and you have to get this down and you write it, mostly they might need much more editing because you're not even thinking about having perfect sentences or anything when you're writing it down. So it takes more time for it to edit to make perfect sentences out of it. And then some other, maybe you've been developing the idea for long, it's been taking up shape in your head, even you have some pretty sentences or pretty much a lot of sentences that you already fixed and said it. So it's not just kind of free pouring it down the first scenario. So I think it's different. It's very much different. But generally, I would say editing is very, 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 very hard because it's very hard as creators or as writers to be satisfied with many parts of your work. You're just like, I need to change to one. And then you change, and then you're not satisfied with it, and then you change. It's very much as this kind of love-hate relationship with your work. And I think editing is where it comes out most.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of which, you know, something I wanted to ask you is you've been published now in X-Ray magazine, which I love, and I read your story there.
Nostalgia.
Yeah, Nostalgia. They published some really great stuff.
Yes. I love X-Ray too.
You know, I just learned about them very recently, but they're big on flash fiction. I think they're pretty new, right? But anyway, you got picked up by them in November of 2020.
Yeah.
I know there are tons of languages spoken in Nigeria, but what's your native language?
Yoruba. I speak Yoruba.
How do you make the decision whether to write in your native tongue over English?
I live in Nigeria. I was born in Nigeria, and English is the official language spoken in Nigeria. So I've always written in English since when I was young. Though I can speak in my native language, I write in English. So it's not kind of like there's no hard choice between writing in English or writing in Yoruba. Though very much, I would love to write in Yoruba too someday.
Yeah, that's soon. What I was going to ask if you have any.
Yes, because I very much love my native language. I'm very proud of it too. And I think it needs people to write and document things down in this language because it's sort of promotes the language. And then because we have so many languages now that have gone extinct because people still don't speak and people don't write in them, people don't document, and then it's kind of gotten out of extinction. So I wouldn't want that to happen. Though really there are very much organizations and initiatives doing work in this area.
Yeah.
Promoting people to write books and document and speak language. I can speak my native language pretty much very well fluently. I can speak it fluently. Mm-hmm. And I think not all people can speak this French fluently. Not all people can speak. And I think if writing stories in this language can sort of like promote and make more people than are speaking it now. And document and have literature, very much more literature written in this language. I think it was very much more common to write in Yoruba in the past.
In the past,
because I think most books I'm open to reading now, they were written by writers of the past in Yoruba. They were written by writers of the past. So I think what this initiative is doing is trying to make writers of the present now to write stories in this language. And I think it's pretty good. It's pretty good. I love what they are doing. And I've considered writing in this language. I've also written a poem in Yoruba, then translated it to English for the fun of it. So I think it's pretty good what these initiatives are doing. And I would also like to actively promote it.
Yeah. And you mentioned translating. I mean, is that something you would be interested in doing? Is being a translator?
Not sure yet, but
yeah,
I know that I love to translate my poems.
Mm-hmm.
I find it interesting. I find the process of translation interesting. For example, I for a workshop I recently concluded with NFTW Freshers initiative. I translated a poem to Yoruba. It's the assignment was to translate any poem for a language, from a language to another language. So I translated the poem to Yoruba, and it got interesting, because I think there's this magic of language, that certain language seems to bring out certain thing about the poem that some other language cannot. And I think it's very much, beautiful. Yeah. In a way, the sound and some of that thing that might not be present in a language comes out in another language and all like that. So I think I like, translating, but I'm not sure if translating is what I'm going to be going to, like, career or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you feel, though, that something is lost in translating a text?
Yes. Yes, I think there's no way to, translate the work 100% and translate everything about the work. But I also think in translating, some other beautiful things come up in the translated work that might not be evident in the previous language it was written in. Something like that. It's more of it to it. You lose part of it. Yeah, maybe the meaning, because it's very hard to articulate and pinpoint exactly what something means. So we can only read deeply and try to get the utmost understanding of it in translating. So I think part of the meaning might be lost, or part of certain nuances might be lost in the translation. But then also, for example, if it's I've noticed about what I've noticed about African languages, Nigerian languages, like Yoruba, that there's very much more meaning in the sound.
It's more I know what you're saying.
Yeah, so I think repetition in Yoruba, for example, is so beautiful. Because I noticed the poem I translated Ilya Kaminsky's poem, "We Lived Happily During the War." So, and then those repetitions in the poem were very much sonorous and beautiful when I read the poem in Yoruba translated. So I think in some way it becomes meaningful in a sense, or becomes much more in a sense, and then could have lost part of its meaning in that way. So I think it's more of it.
That makes sense. Also, how do I spell the name of the language? Is it it's Bura, right?
Yoruba.
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 I see. Perfect. Okay. I thought it was okay. Yeah. So I understand. So, you know, translating is always difficult. Always one. It does kind of seem like it's universally agreed upon that something is lost, but you know, I guess there is a way to retain meaning. That's up to the translator. You have to have a talented translator for that to happen.
Yes. I think. Translation depends on translator too. I think there are some very, very good translators out there doing pretty amazing work. It's not an easy job at all.
Yeah, not at all.
Exactly.
No. So something that you talk about a lot on social media, you identify yourself as an advocate of Muslim literature.
Yes.
And I want to learn a little bit about that. I mean, I've read, you know, a few things here and there, but what would you, you know, where would you start with something like introducing somebody to some of the work you're talking about, or some of the work that you love?
Muslim literature. There are many Muslim literature books out there, and authors that write Muslim literature. S.T. Ali, Leila Bolela, from Umju area, Sabasai. There are a lot of books there, Love from A to Z. There's an imprint of Simon and Schuster, Salam Reads. They publish Muslim literature books. And I if you're asking about why I think it's important in a way, I would say it's because there are a lot of things in the media about Muslims and non-Muslims writing about this thing in some sort of stereotypical ways, conveying what's not and passing stuff as literature also. But I think Muslim literature is just Muslims writing down stories.
Yeah. So there's something about maybe almost the form of translation, but these, you know, stories in the oral tradition being written down and passed along through writing.
Muslim literature.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I don't think he's sort of like passing legacy or culture down through over generations. I think it's more of it's different for different generations at different times. For example, now mostly what is written written about 9/11 and all, and 9/11 written by non-Muslims or some other people, and then let's say the book writes and says Muslim are terrorists and all, and gets published and all. Nobody can stop that, obviously. But then we also need to write about this, because Muslims are definitely not terrorists. Islam doesn't preach terrorism. It's against. Mm-hmm. So then I think it's imperative for us to write our own stories and convey our own side of stories. Even if the media would not promote our side of stories, we can definitely write about what we are passionate about and what we think we need to change in our own stories.
Mm-hmm.
Write in poetry, write in nonfiction, write in fiction. So I started an initiative to promote this interest.
I think that's part of the beauty of social media too, right? Is you don't have to go through the media or mainstream channels to get your message across or to have your story published and to have your voice heard. And that's kind of a new, phenomenon. What's your writing? What are you studying in college, and what's your writing community like there? Do you have a lot of friends who are aspiring writers, or are you kind of alone in that?
I study biochemistry at Lagos State University.
You study biochemistry?
Yes, I study.
Wow.
So.
Very cool. Sorry to change the subject here, but do you know about CRISPR?
CRISPR, no.
Oh, it's just it's a protein that can like select out certain, it's a biochemistry thing, but it's a protein that can select out certain genes, and you know, people are talking about customizing their babies in the future and stuff.
I think we should get there, because I'm still in my first year, so we haven't done too much biochemistry stuff, still doing science.
Yeah.
Chemistry and biology and all. So that's what we're still doing.
Oh yeah.
So you were talking about social media and advocating or something.
Yeah, well, essentially, just now that social media, now you don't have to go through mainstream media or like Western publishers to have your voice heard, right? You can publish on social media. There are magazines all around the world. I mean, you're getting published in multiple countries, so it's a way for you to get your voice out without having, you know, the media control the narrative, which is great. My question was with college too, is do you find yourself surrounded by a lot of people who want to be writers, or is it kind of still like a rare thing? I know when I went to college, I knew zero people who wanted to be a writer. So,
it's not quite like that. I have few friends who also want to be writers. No, they are not quite as, let's say, passionate about it as I am, but at least they want to be writers and they write quite, they write once in a while. So, but that's my university. But in many other universities in Nigeria, the writing community there is quite stronger than this. I'm also thinking of kind of looking for other people who are really interested in this thing, and it's creating a committee in my university. So it's pretty much possible because I'm still my first year and it's still a long time to meet and engage with other writers on campus.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's so what's your hope with writing? I mean, biochemistry is a fascinating subject, and I'm sure you'll learn a lot of fascinating stuff along the way and find a job in your field and all that. But what's the hope with writing in the future for you? And also maybe we could talk a little bit about your work in progress, which to me sounds fascinating.
What writing means for me?
Yeah, or you know, what do you hope comes of this? I mean, you've already won several awards and you're only in your first year of undergraduate. So is this something you'll continue to pursue through college and lifelong, or what do you think?
Yeah, I think I always write.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll ever stop writing.
You don't think you're going to drop writing for biochemistry?
No.
Good. Right. I'm very happy to hear that. But okay, so this is an interesting thought then. You've got this fascinating major. You're obviously interested in science. And from what I've read, you're working now on something that blends genres. Do you plan on... How is biochemistry or science maybe, does it impact your thinking about writing at all?
Biochemistry, how it impacts my writing? Yeah, as I said, I've not really gone deep into studying biochemistry because I'm still in my first university.
Right.
But then science as a whole plays a role in my writing.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when I'm writing speculative fiction or poetry. I'm very fascinated about, science is beautiful and it's interesting. So, and I love to explore. So, which kind of puts me in two different ways, scientist and art, same time. Exploration. So then I experiment with my writing too, which is, I think, a kind of scientist thing, artist thing again. So I think it's just much of blending things together and trying out new things and, perhaps it doesn't become a disaster. It's got a big trip.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. I've been reading some science fiction for the first time in my life, and I understand the appeal. I think you're going to have very interesting insight with the professional background, the education you're about to get. It's very exciting. But I'm glad to hear that you're going to keep writing. You know, your stuff's great, and. You know, God bless the internet. I never, you know, this is yet another example of somebody I never would have met without it. You know what I mean? I think you followed Selected Prose one day and I looked at your profile and that was that. Yeah. So can you tell us a little bit about what you're working on right now?
Yeah, it's a Muslim fiction book, which I think brings us in Muslim literature again. But then it's not just literary fiction. It's much like it blends to genres,
which is great, and I think that's kind of where literature is heading.
It's cuts across mystery, thriller, romance, and I think a little bit of science fiction too. So and then there's this the core of it is being a Muslim fiction story because it's about a Muslim boy, and then it's explores Islam and life in Nigeria. It's set in Nigeria, which is where I'm from. So, so
is it set in modern times or is it set in the past?
Yes, it's set in modern times.
Okay,
just before COVID, because I was listening to your interview with I think with Avner, and talking about how COVID has changed. When I was writing my story, it was just before when I began writing. It was just before COVID. So mm-hmm. when COVID came and I was still writing the story, I was like, no. This is set way before COVID. Because it's changed the storyline. It's going to change all of the storyline. It's set during COVID or anything like that. So,
we all have to pretend that it never happened and we'll just keep writing. Somebody had mentioned, my co-host in the interview had mentioned, that she feels bad for people who started writing their novel before COVID, and I kind of understand that, but just keep going and pretend it never happened.
Because even if you want to write about COVID, it's too complex to write about it.
I think so too.
I think at least now that we're supposed to go through it. I think there's so many things that it's going to take you from the floor. I think the way.
Yeah.
You can't just, pull the plot from A to B to C like that.
Mm-hmm. No, you can't. You can't just have
some plot might not even work because of that. It doesn't go that way now.
Yeah. There's no way you're writing your plot and then, the third plot point, all of a sudden there's a global pandemic. I don't think people are going to find that, it's going to come out of nowhere, you know? It's an interesting question about what happens now. I mean, I mostly write short stories, so I don't have to worry about that too much, but there is going to be a lot of novels, which I guess time will be ambiguous because we've gone through this huge change, but I don't think we're ready to write about it. So it's just kind of like, do we pretend nothing happened, or do I set my book, one more year in the past? I don't know. It raises some interesting questions.
Yeah. I get what you mean about ambiguous, because it's certainly for my book now. I'm still writing the first job. I had a break writing it. Mm-hmm. I'm going back to writing it, next month, which is tomorrow match. I'll get back to writing. Hopefully I'll finish it this year.
Yeah.
But I've been working on it for quite a while now. But then I think what you mean about being ambiguous, my study set is still ambiguous. Mm-hmm. I have the range, okay, say it's some years before COVID, but I don't really know which year.
Yeah, because exactly.
It's very much, I think it's kind of hard to set your story in one particular year, because then there are certain things that happen in that year that might conflict your plot, and then it makes the story less believable. So if I'm going to like pinpoint a year story setting, I'll have to take into consideration major things happen that year.
Yeah.
And see if it works with the plot. Because one thing I hate in stories is when I see that, it doesn't go. Let's say story sets in 2020 and then doesn't talk about COVID at all. I'm like,
there's no way, you know.
It doesn't work. So
it's hard to suspend your disbelief there.
Yes, even when you know it's fiction.
Exactly, yeah. No, I completely agree. And on the other hand, I don't want to read fiction about people, you know, trying to tell me about COVID that we've all lived through. You know, it's not very interesting. So it's a tough.
It'll be much more interesting in the future when we look back and write on it.
Yeah.
I think very much interesting and like kind of, preserving this experience for future generation. But right now, it's just like pushing agenda or your own side of what you believe when everybody else have their own belief of what it means and what it is and the experiences too.
Yeah, and how it's changed us as a, you know, species and everything. Those questions remain to be answered. I certainly don't want to try to do it through fiction yet. I think we need history and sociology and everybody and biochemists to tell us what's going on. but so one more thing before I let you go, a big question I have is sort of, you've been writing poems and stories your whole life. And so this is your first novel, correct? That you're working on?
Yeah.
So what do you think some of the hardest things are from transitioning between poems and stories to writing a novel? Have you found it difficult or?
I've, I've, I've started writing other novels before this, though I've never finished any. So it's, I think those works I've written are more like preparing me for this step. I wrote it when I was much younger than I am now. So it's different from writing short, but I think I've been exposed to longer stories and novels and novellas very earlier than I've been exposed to short stories.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, it's not new to me. It's what I'm familiar with. I read novels when I was younger, and I still read novels now.
Mm-hmm.
So, and when I was younger, I didn't really read book of short stories. I love novels, longer stories I can lose yourself into and carries you from place to place and all. So it's not unfamiliar to me in a way that from that general mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that makes sense. I keep trying to write something longer, and I don't think I have the brain, the attention span for it. So I commend you for being able to do so.
Yeah.
But
I think some people are just it's okay if you don't write longer stories. I wouldn't force anybody, because I think it's common now. Everybody wants to write poems and write maybe flash fiction and then write novels.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't write short stories, or you don't write longer works, but you want to write novels. I think if you want to do it, then it's okay. But then not because you feel pressured to call yourself in novels, or because you want to write a novel.
Good point. No, it's a very good point.
Yeah. Not because I think people have been, people's mindset have been changed about this. Everybody wants to write a book, a novel. Not, but I think if you want to write, if you want to write a book, you can write a collection of flash fiction, a collection of short stories, a collection of works you write, make it a collection and make it a book and write it. Not necessarily writing longer stories, because longer stories are harder to write in a way, because it's much more complex. It's not just a short story. You don't have the kind of full grasp of the story and edit the way you like.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of plots and all. So changes in one side might affect the other side. And then it's kind of, it can get really much, to get frustrating for someone who's not familiar with it. So if what you want to write is not longer stories, then you should do it.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think I think it should be about the story you want to tell, not wanting to write a book. You know, if your story requires a novel, then it requires a novel. You know, you shouldn't force it. Yeah,
I've had short stories that grew into something larger, and I've outlined them out for as a novella or probably a novel. So I think it works that way. And there are some ideas who have, okay, you can write a novel about it, but then you see it works best as a short story or something much shorter. So I think it's much about the idea, like you said. If it's something that deserves writing as a novel, then it should, if it works like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, Timmy, this was really great, and I'm really happy you came on. I absolutely love your work. I'm glad we met. Glad we met on the internet. I have to ask. So you're in your first year in college. So how old are you?
I'm 19.
19, and you've got some awards under your belt, my friend. I really really commend you for that. I hope you keep going, and I'm really excited to to read your first novel. And do you have any more short stories or anything coming out in the near future?
Yes. I've been trying to get some short stories from getting rejections.
Yeah, I mean, that's par for the course. That's how it works, you know?
Yeah, well, hopefully soon get some of that short story, because I really like writing short stories and I want people to read my short stories, but then it seems I've been pushing out more poetry these days than short stories, and I want to change that. Hopefully soon you'll see more short stories from me.
I hope so. Yeah, I'm very excited to have spoken with you and to see what you create in the future. It's going to be
Thanks so much. And I should say this for a go. I really love what you do at Selected Press, because I've always kind of thought there should be kind of interview writers and all like this, not just written interviews and all. So I think it's much good, and thank you for inviting me.
Thanks, Timmy. I appreciate it, man. We will keep them coming.
All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to our talk with Timmy Sani. Hope you learned a bit. Hope you check out his writing. Brilliant dude. A lot of great things to come. I'm very excited for our next interview. We'll be sitting down with Andy Oppenheimer, musician, now a novelist and a memoirist, consultant in biological, chemical, and nuclear weapons terrorism. A brilliant talk with a brilliant man. Very excited to bring it to you. Till next time.